You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line for this Wednesday to take a look at what happened in the marketplace on this 22nd day of October is Jackie Vake. She's from Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Some interesting things happening in the marketplace. Let's take up some technical sides of the market, not involved with how futures traded, but how they will trade in the futures, in the future, that is, because the CME Group has decided they're going to lower the daily trading limits.
Right. This is the quarterly adjustment that was set up when they put the new limits in, and so it goes into effect on November the 3rd. Corn's going to actually drop from 35 to 25. And the expanded limit will now be just 40. Beans is going down, are going down 70 from a dollar. Their expanded limit $1.05. Chicago wheat 35 down from the current 45 with an expanded limit of 55, and KC wheat 40 down from the current 50 with the expanded limit of 60. And so, you know, this is what we've all been wanting for a long time. It's more of a representative of the price range that we're in and a percentage of what that price range is.
Okay, so to clarify, the trading range for corn limit is now 25 cents.
Right.
For soybeans, 70 cents.
Yep.
Soft red Chicago wheat will be 35 cents.
That's correct.
Yep. And then Kansas City wheat will be 40 cents.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So those are all the numbers we're dealing with at the moment, will be dealing with, and that starts when November the 3rd is
November the 3rd,
okay.
Right.
Okay, so that's the technical side of the market, at least one of the things producers will be dealing with, we haven't hit the limits for a while, but at some point we probably will again, and that's where we stand. So let's talk about other things that are happening in the marketplace. Just before you came on the air with us, I was reading the numbers for the outside markets and looking at the spread between ethanol and crude oil, and it has narrowed substantially at this point.
Yeah, and it's having a negative impact. There's no question about it. We've seen margins since the 4th of September on ethanol drop from 70 cents a gallon down to around the 10 cent level, and it's pretty well held. Nobody knows for sure from one plant to the next that they need somewhere between 20 and 25 to service debt, you know, and meet expenses. So this is not good news for us, and I believe the last time we've actually seen this strong a situation was back in 2009.
What's behind the move? Just the cheaper price of corn, the cheaper price of crude oil, the combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two, but crude is probably what carries the most. You know, crude oil is down $13 a barrel in that same time frame that we're looking at. And I think, you know, it's just generally the way it is. Now, there could be some good news there. You know, they may still choose to use ethanol. And the guys, at least some of the people I've talked to, said that, you know, they intend to produce up to the requirement, but now they may not overproduce like they have been doing for a while. And so we have to keep a very close eye on it because it directly affects us when it comes to the corn market.
And that's the domestic production of ethanol. There are things happening on the global front, too.
Absolutely. You know, we see Brazil expanding its corn ethanol production, and, you know, they've been retooling their sugarcane plants to be able to handle corn. And, you know, the other thing we have to take into account here, just like when you look at crude oil and the fact that crude oil is actually priced in U.S. dollars everywhere in the world, the U.S. dollar has gone higher, so it does not make our ethanol cheaper. It makes our ethanol more expensive.
And then other things that are in the outside market, I don't know what you've been looking at. China's usually of interest.
Oh, China. China's been pretty amazing. In fact, I was very fortunate to hear a really good speaker about China, and I was shocked by this. He said that, you know, in terms of their economy right now, and if you compare them to us, they're where we were in 1910. You know, to me, that's just absolutely surprising. And, you know, I guess a person then better understands why every single time we see them not meeting their growth expectations and things like that, people are looking at it and saying, holy cow. Could we see China go through the same type of thing that we did back in the 30s? And, you know, they've made some, sorry, I don't want to call them foolish. price program in place for corn and rice and all kinds of different things. And so what they've virtually done is made their prices too high, and they've driven record imports. So, you know, this slowdown in demand that they're seeing over there with the record grain harvest is just adding to the stockpile. So there's a lot of discussion, and I believe it's going to happen, that they're going to probably put in a direct payment program very similar to what we had, so that they can reduce their prices and therefore slow down the imports. And so a lot of things. And I think you can really see the impact of the dollar there, too. If you look at China's imports from January through September of this year, wheat is down 49.4%, and it's been replaced by Australia. You know, so Australia has picked up the pace plus. Now, on beans, on the other hand, we're up 38%. A little over 17 million metric tons. And so, you know, it's a situation where it's just an ongoing, constantly changing situation. They came out today and said they expect China corn purchases to be down from 40 million metric tons, from 60 down to 40. And so I think this whole thing is just going to cause the GMO approval to drag on for who knows how long, too.
And if I suppose they're looking to build their own agriculture, they can use that GMO ban, if that's what they decide to do, to protect their own seed industry.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's also, I think, a really great way for them to diversify their corn import suppliers. You know, you always China's always been good at that, being able to make sure that we all know how big they are and how much we need them. And, you know, I think just the balance off of that, it's interesting because you look at those countries and then you look at, like, Argentina. We talked last week about Argentina talking about maybe nationalizing a company that currently exists down there. In other words, taking them over and saying we can do this. In those countries, they can do that type of thing. And so you never know exactly what's on the horizon for any of the people that we depend on.
As we wrap up our time together, since you happen to mention South America, they are in the midst of their planting season, and we know that we have a really good crop here, but they're just in the beginning throes of theirs.
Oh, they are, and, you know, it's a tough road to hoe, especially Mato Grosso and Paraná and Mato Grosso do Sul. They've been extremely dry. They've been warm. I didn't realize until of late that September and October are actually the hottest months down in central Brazil because of their location to the equator. And they're only 10% planted on beans versus a normal 20%, and that's primarily just because it's been hot. Get this, bare ground down there, if there's no cover crop on it, 1 inch down is 140 degrees.
Ooh.
Fahrenheit.
I don't want to know what it is on top.
I don't even want to begin to think. But, you know, so this is probably going to cause them to have to replant some of those beans. And, right. You know, you and I had talked earlier about how they may come into competition with us by the end of December. I don't think that that's probably realistic anymore. It's going to push their harvest later. And, you know, new crop sales down there, it's just like here, they're 16% versus 41% last year. They're just dragging their feet, and they're very concerned about Safrinha corn because the later the bean planting goes, the worse it gets in terms of their timing there. So now Argentina's on the opposite side. We figure Brazil's going to lose about 1 million metric tons of production, and they're going to boost their costs because it costs them about 3 to 4 bushels an acre to replant. So now they'd have to yield about 42 bushels to the acre to break even. Argentina's doing terrific. They've got 32% of their corn planted, 11% faster than normal, and their bean acreage is probably going to go up 1.5%, which would mean their crop would increase by 1 million metric tons. So it's kind of a push.
Hey, Jackie, I appreciate you being with us for the day. Jackie, thanks so much for all you do
for the
radio station. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Wednesday afternoon. If you have not yet dialed in with your pledge of financial support, right now is the very best time to do it. I kid you not, 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Or go to willag.org. That's willag.org. Up at the top of the page, you will find a rectangle that says donate now. However you do it, make sure you tell them or check mark that you're listening in support of agriculture. Isn't that right?